Production. Recorded live.
Okay, folks, this is another Bible study, and we're going to have Pastor Martin, and then me and him are going to start the show, and I think Gary's going to call in shortly. Are you there, Martin?
Yeah, I'm there. You know, I'd like to go ahead and thank the, well, the small audience, Logbuster. I like to, you know, well, it's about two-thirds of what the Pisser Possum got on a Wednesday night, some nights. Any case, folks, it's sort of like an open forum call. This show is pretty well devoted to trying to understand the basics of dual seedline Christian identity. Now, last week we had, somewhat of a disagreement about preexistence. I don't really want to get back into it. In the Worldwide Church of God, we were taught, and I used Genesis 2, verse 7, to make the point that there were quite a few people who were Adam, there were quite a few so-called human beings of various sorts who were pre-Adamites and who were wandering around. I think among them were white Cro-Magnons who lived as long as 45,000 years ago. Now, I think Logan believes in pre-existence, but not exactly reincarnation, although he may think it's possible. I'm not quite sure.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
Well, do you think it's reincarnation is possible, too? You believe in pre-existence, right?
I believe that when you read the scriptures, mm-hmm. that you can make a very strong case to prove from Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, possibly lost books, that you can make a very good, strong case for pre-existence. And me and Gary said, we believe some white men, like the patriarchs, like the 12 apostles, like John the Baptist, like Adam, we believe certain key figures in the Old Testament pre-existed. And we think that we can prove that from Scripture, and then Russ also believes that. Now, I don't necessarily believe that Eve and the white women pre-existed, because if you read, all the angels were blonde-haired, blue-eyed male, and there was such a big deal about Adam being created, and he lived for a long time before Yahweh decided to pull a rib out of him, okay? So I think there's a strong case for pre-existence for some, not all Israelites or not all Adamites or not all white people, but only certain ones, especially the patriarchs in the Old Testament. And, you know, most people in identity that I have met before you, they believe in reincarnation. Now, Gary does not. And I'm going to say this. You can prove a pretty strong argument for preexistence from Scripture, but it's pretty hard to prove reincarnation from Scripture. I don't think you can really... I personally don't think you can prove it from Scripture. Now, a lot of people believe it, and they want to, you know, they want to say that Elijah and John the Baptist were the same being, but actually in the lost books, it said that they were the two greatest prophets, but they were two different people because there was two posts tied with a leather strap on top of the 12 pillars in heaven being the 12 apostles. So, if the 12 apostles are 12 different souls, then I believe Elijah and John the Baptist were two different souls.
Hi, Martin. Hi, hello, Gary. We started the show about 4 minutes ago, and you called in right on time.
Well, that's good.
And we were essentially talking about preexistence. I was explaining that essentially I do not believe in preexistence. The Worldwide Church of God, from which I, well, essentially grew up, did not preach pre-existence. And until about a year or so ago, I didn't know that there were people who believed in, the only people I knew that believed in pre-existence were Mormons and Hindus. Logan was making his point for pre-existence. I remember you believe that pre-existence is possible, maybe even likely. You do not believe in reincarnation.
That's correct.
Okay. And essentially, Logan was essentially making his point for what he believed. Last week, I covered in, Genesis chapter 2 as opposed to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, about the pre-Adamites, these so-called human, or, you know, essentially human sort of likes. And I believe that there were Cro-Magnon before the Adamites. I believe that they existed essentially, what, as far ago as, what, 45,000 years ago? You know, maybe, you know, but around that time they showed up in the fossil record. And I believe that they were mainly white, you know, by race. They lived in, you know, they pretty well migrated into Europe between the last ice age and the previous ice age before that. I don't believe that they had souls. I don't believe that they were, you know, essentially they may have been aware. I mean, I see in the typhoon here, I see a bunch of these gooks, and they seem to be self-aware. They seem to be a number of things. But in any case, and I've been listening to Eli James and the rest of these characters, and, you know, they're good gooks. They'll be resurrected or whatever. And no, that's not what we believe at all. We believe the covenant is only with covenant people. And this is another thing I was thinking, is that for everyone who claims that now I'm a Paul basher, I would probably respond to them by saying, well, you know, it was agreed between, you know, James the Just, who was Christ's brother, and the Apostle James and Peter and the rest, that essentially the remaining 11 disciples would go to the Israelites, to the Judeans, and Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So essentially, if you want to go ahead and say that you're a Gentile, be it a Jew Gentile or a nigger Gentile or a Greek Gentile, and that Paul has brought you in, I don't have a problem with that. But on the other hand, essentially, if you're going to go ahead and claim that you are brought in because of Paul, and you are essentially claiming that you are a, quote, Gentile, and the question of it is whether or not you're an Israelite Gentile or not a Israelite Gentile. And I'd probably tend to believe that those who make such a big deal about Paul are more than likely non-Israelite, quote, Gentiles. Because the term Gentile, all it means is of the nations. And essentially, that's pretty much what it means. So anyway, I went ahead and went through Genesis chapter 1, starting with the beast of the field, you know, 6 day beast of the field, where Yahweh made him on the 6th day, and he made, quote, man. And then you go to Genesis chapter 2, where Yahweh rested. He finished up creation. And then in 2:7, he created Adam, out of the dust of the field, and he breathed into him, and, you know, Adam became a living soul. So generally, pretty well the understanding that I and the Worldwide Church of God had is that, no, Adam did not pre-exist before he was, you know, before he, quote, existed. He was essentially created out of this, he was created out of this clay. And essentially, Yahweh gave him a spark of the divine, gave him a bit of Holy Spirit, to where essentially he was more than human. You know, less than the immortal angels, which are made all together out of spiritual being, but, you know, he was given a soul by Yahweh. And therefore, where this came from is it was a part of Yahweh, and it made Adam and Adam's white children into essentially people of the covenant, people with a soul. And pretty well, I think, mainline Christian identity, pretty well does not really care what happens to the non-Israelites. Pretty well, Christian identity says that since the white and northern Europeans and their pure descendants are descendants from the lost tribe of Israel, usually not even the British Israelite people care much or worry too much about what happens to non-whites when they die. And especially the dual seed line, I mean, goes ahead and says, well, hey, some of these so-called whites, I like Jews, are actually of a different seed line. They're of a different genotype. They're, you know, they have some spark of divine, but essentially it's of the evils of Satan that they are made up of. So pretty well, I didn't want to go ahead and make it all pre-existence, but essentially, if you believe that someone pre-existed or some people, you know, didn't pre-exist, if you did pre-exist, was there ever a time when you didn't pre-exist? And if so, were you part of the overall mass of Yahweh? The Hindu religion believes that you're doomed to go through a number of cycles, and if you're, quote, Aryan, you're three times born, you got a leg up, you know, from as many as 84,000 cycles that you have to. I think it's ridiculous, and I ridiculed the Jain woman who believed that at this world religions class I attended. I asked her, is it sort of unfair if you have to go through 84,000 recycles? What happens if that 83,990, you came back as a Germanic white male, you know, like say either Schmitz or the Linsteads or the Adebars or whatever, and you're a SS major and you're on the Eastern Front, you're shooting Jews and pulling their teeth and you're using the profits to open up the first McDonald's in Dachau. I mean, that would be enough under your belief to bust you down to maggot fourth class here. I mean, essentially you've been busted down about 83,000, you know, cycles here because you put enough of what they call ahimsa, and now your karma is to be busted down to fourth class, and you only got what? You know, you only got nine cycles to go for. You're gonna have to be a rather exemplary maggot fourth class in order to get back to where you got busted down. And I think this Jain woman figured out I was ridiculing her and her religion. But the world religions class said, well, logically, Linstead has a point. I mean, you do have to go through cycles of, you know, not even being able to know who you are. And therefore, you have to just simply suck them up. But the whole idea behind Buddhism, behind Hinduism, is that you get enough rebirth to where you achieve nirvana, and essentially your spirit becomes one with the universe. So essentially, maybe they're saying that you have a pinch of the divine and you have to refine it and refine it and refine it before you become one with, I guess you could say, if you're comparing Hinduism and Christianity, you would say before your spirit, your immortal soul, whatever, goes through enough cycles, through enough cleansings to where you become one with Yahweh. And pretty well, I guess I'm taking the exact opposite in that essentially Yahweh, when he formed Adam, he went ahead and took a bit of his Holy Spirit and thus formed Adam, and he became a living soul. Do you sort of understand what I'm getting at?
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. You have the questions as to where, you know, I mean, are some people, you know, like the patriarchs, you believe in pre-existence for them? Are they, you know, when did they not pre-exist, or did they exist the same as Yahweh, and therefore are they not, you know, wouldn't you say that they're close to
being? No, okay. Can I step in here?
Sure.
If you read a lot of the scriptures, And you put these verses together that support pre-existence, and I think some of the patriarchs did pre-exist. When he's talking to Job in Job 38, he says, look, basically when you read it, he's saying, look, Job, where were you when the morning stars, the angels, and the sons of Yahweh were all praising me way before the earth was founded? Now, the morning stars are the angels. The sons of God, if you don't believe the angels are sons of God, then that would be somebody different. Now, when you read the lost books and when you read all about the creation of Adam, all the angels were gathered around when Adam came into a flesh body. I believe Adam was one of the sons of God before he first came into a flesh body, and the angels were around standing. So, and it does say that Adam was a son of God.
So all these people that say that Yahshua was the only, he was the only, maybe the only begotten Son of God, but he was the Word made flesh. So he was Yahweh coming in a flesh body. But there are many sons of God. Adam was one of them. But I believe the other sons of God that preexisted in the book of Job, there was obviously a lot of sons of God. Now, whether you want to believe that angels are sons of God or not, there's also some sons of God that are not angels, like Adam. And, you know, basically...
Okay. So what do you do, last week I pointed out you had these, quote, sons of gods who saw the daughters of men that they were fair. And since they became mighty men, giants, they became these Rephalim and Nephilim and all these other evil creatures. And essentially, when they say sons of God, they mean these angels. And later on, I think you read in Jude, who left their first estate and decided that they had free will, and therefore they could essentially not only rebel against Yahweh, but in order to carry out their rebellion, become incarnate and spawn these evil creatures who would be just as evil or more evil than they were.
All right, look, there's three groups. When Adam and his clan were up at the Cave of Treasures,
mm-hmm.
You had Adam, Seth, and the rest of the patriarchs, that all the way down to Noah, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Between Seth and Noah, there were key men, white men, up on the mountain that decided to leave their wife family, and go down there and drink the corn whiskey and dance with the nude, painted-up whores, the Canaanite women, and have sex with them and listen to lewd music. Now, those were the sons of God that mated with the daughters of men, but they didn't produce giants. Now, it does say in the Lost Books, and we've read it on the air, Martin, we read two different, the Cave of Treasures, and we also read the book of Adam and Eve. It also says that Satan and the one-third of the fallen angels were already down there screwing and having sex with the daughters of Cain. Okay? So you had the sons of Cain and the fallen angels and the sons of Seth, three different groups of men, three different racially, if you want to say. They were all getting drunk and listening and drinking corn whiskey, alcohol, and listening to lewd, like rock and roll type music. And they were dancing. It says they were all they were stripping their clothes off and having a big sex orgy, and they were just screwing left and right. So, I believe the giants only came from the union of the fallen angels and the daughters of Cain, because when a son of Cain and a daughter of Cain have sex and produce a child, it's only a mongrel Jew. It's not a giant. They have a lot of birth defects, and there are some midget, and there are some real tall, but not super giant Jews. I think Andre the Giant had Jew blood in him. Some of those tall wrestlers, some of these freaks that are, but basically...
Well, he had a defective pituitary gland, but go on.
Yeah, I don't think... Well, some people say he's a Jew, too. I don't think any of the ladies. Okay, look, if a white man has sex with a Jew woman to have a kid, it's not a giant. So I think that. So the Bible may call the fallen angels former sons of Yahweh. Maybe they used to be sons of Yahweh, but also Seth and the white race from Adam through Seth were also called sons of God too. So you had two different. But the only sons of God that produce giants. Because if Seth or one of his line made it with a Jew woman, it would only produce a mongrel. It would not produce a giant, I don't believe. I believe the only giants that were produced were from the fallen angels. Now, Gary, is that line of reasoning? Does that make sense that of all the three groups that had sex with the daughters of Cain, that only the fallen angels produced giants?
Oh, yeah, I kind of agree with you. I could throw something out into this whole thing. Have you ever heard of the word telegamy?
Telegamy. Yes, it's a belief that essentially if a female has sex with a inferior or different race of male, her entire her entire eggs are essentially her entire, not only is her current egg, which might go ahead and, you know, meet with a inferior male sperm, is affected, but essentially her entire eggs are, you know, affected as well. Is that about five? And it's understood that essentially while males will produce sperm in their testes, produce, in the case of men, 23 chromosomes, a female will produce her 23 chromosomes, but essentially she has all her eggs, about 100,000 of them on average, when she is born. Uh-huh. And then from menstruation, she has usually an egg about, once every moon cycle or month, you know, monthly cycle, throughout her years. And essentially this egg will go, you know, usually on an alternating fallopian tube. If it's not impregnated after about 2 or 3 days, the tissue of her uterine walls sloughs off, and she ends up having, you know, her menstrual flow, her menstrual period. And then, you know, and then it's sort of like a female coming into heat. But the belief in telogeny is that having sex with an inferior male, be it a Springer Holstein heifer or a white woman, will go ahead and cause the rest of her eggs to have some sort of taint, genetic taint, because essentially that male sperm has affected them in some way, even though it hasn't impregnated them.
And it's essentially, now when you get into registered cattle, registered dogs, registered horses, anything where the people really care and have really studied, they will not breed their animal but to only one particular dog. Okay, one particular male, and that spells out that when Eve had sex with Lucifer, or Satan, or you're going to call him
Satan incarnate, or whatever he was,
yeah. Whatever he was, okay, he infected that womb. Now I've got some studies I put together way back. I couldn't find them the other day, where he said, if you do this, you will surely die. And Adam was not to die, okay? But when he took up with her, that womb was contaminated, okay? And from that time on, everybody's died since. And plus the fact we get what we call genetic kickbacks, genetic...
throwbacks?
There's a lot of things we get. And so therefore... a lot of the things we see out here is caused by a male mating with a female, and even if there was no offspring from that mate, later on, Adam went on to him, went on to Eve. They said the sin was passed on to the sons and daughters of Adam,
mm-hmm.
And that sin was in the womb already. Okay, so some of this explains the telogamy thing. I spent a lot of time because we had Holstein and spent a lot of time, you know, in genetic classes and all kinds of different things. And then you, plus the fact you get a genetic carryover with the diseases that the sperm carries. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So. I'm just trying to add to Shane's
Logan, what are you doing?
I'm trying to clean my phone because the speaker's distorted. But go. I'm sorry. I'm making noise.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was trying to, you know, bring in another facet of what we were discussing. I hope it didn't throw it off, but yeah, and you've done a very good job in explaining it for the people who are listening, and that basic is there. And the purity that was in Mary was the purity was that she had no, she was a pure blooded, and she was also a virgin. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't think that explains some of what happened back in these older times in history. Okay. So it is a. I don't know if it brings a pre-existence or not, but.
Well, sort of related. It's sort it got us. I mean, it's at least maybe 1 or 2 degrees of separation only from the part about pre-existence.
Right.
But if you believe in pre-existence, Lord believes that some of the patriarchs could have pre-existed. From my gather, Eve didn't pre-exist. So, I mean, I've heard a number of people in Christian identity who say that females do not have souls because only Adam became a living soul. It doesn't say anything about Eve being created from his rib, being given the breath of life, and made being made into a living soul. And generally, it's not a popular thing to talk before, say in front of your women folks, "Well, hey, woman, you don't have a soul. I do. You need to listen to me or obey me." It's not very exactly conductive to, married bliss here. But in any case, looks like we have the Pisser Possum in, who's gone ahead and showed up. And no, there is a Sephardic Melungeon for you. In any case, but we're still going ahead and carrying the show forward. Anyway, where was I? Generally, would you say that women, that those who come back as a woman do not pre-exist, that they didn't have a pre-existent soul or something like that then, Logan?
Are we talking about reincarnation or just pre-existence?
No, we're talking about pre-existence. You were saying that some of the patriarchs had... pre-existed, you believe. Does that add?
Well, I'll tell you what. When you read all about the sons of Yahweh that pre-existed in the heavens, there was no women. So I don't think Eve or any other white woman existed before Eve came. That's what in a flesh body. I believe that's why Yahweh took so long and then decided to make Eve. Before that, there was only white males either in heaven or on earth as Adam.
So Eve didn't exist as a male spirit, and essentially Yahweh didn't put a male spirit into this rib that he made from Eve then, right?
Well, based on what I have read, that's what, and Frank Wigger agrees with me. When you read all in the scriptures, it talks about heaven and only talks about the white men. It doesn't talk about the women.
So essentially,
I'm not saying that some white women can't be saved and go to heaven. I'm saying before the earth was made, when the heavens existed, I believe it was just the sons of Yahweh, the blonde haired, blue eyed sons of Yahweh, that maybe there was two groups of sons of Yahweh, maybe you had the angels, but it does say in Job there's two categories. There's the angels and there's the sons of Yahweh. It says two different groups. So maybe some of the angels are called sons of Yahweh. I would say the one third that fell with Satan are called sons of Yahweh. And you also have to look, when you were talking about in the King James, where it talks about the sons of God made with the daughters of men and produced giants, well, those were definitely angels. Because the sons of Seth that mated with the Canaanite women didn't produce giants, but you better go to the Strong's Concordance, and you better look wherever it talks about angels and wherever it talks about Adam and his descendants being sons of Yahweh. See if there's two different Strong's words for son of God, because they can't be the same. I mean, obviously Adam and his descendants were not called angels, and I don't think that. Adam,
so white women, the question I'm asking is, see, you believe in pre-existence, I do not. So you're saying that essentially if you're a white woman, you didn't have a male spirit pre-existing and there were no female spirits of preexistence. Essentially, if you are born a white woman, you did not preexist in heaven.
Let me clarify this. That's correct. But I also believe not all white men that have ever been born in the flesh body preexisted. Only certain ones, like Adam and the 12 apostles and John the Baptist and Job and Elijah. I only think certain key ones preexisted. I don't believe every white man. That's why it was such a big deal that he always said, a man born of a woman. John the Baptist is the greatest that ever lived, but Adam was not born of a woman. Yahweh formed Adam with his own hands. Okay?
He formed the angels
with his. I mean, anytime you take something that Yahweh did by himself, that's perfect. Okay? And then anybody can, any white male or white female sloth can get together and just make any kind of kids and live like hell and be a bunch of lawbreakers and hate Yahweh and just do everything evil that they possibly can. I'm not going to say that's Yahweh's will. I'm not going to say it's Yahweh's will. It was such a big thing, okay? It was such a big thing that when Yahweh makes something with his own hands, no sex involved, no white male or white female involved, nobody involved but Yahweh, then it has to be perfect. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and ask Gary. Logan, he believes in preexistence, and he pretty well said is that, I did ask questions. So in short, if you are born a white woman, just by the nature of being born a white woman, it means that you did not have a male soul which was poured into you. Up in heaven. Essentially, you didn't pre-exist before you are born, before you were conceived. You did not exist before you were conceived, even if you're a white woman. And pretty well Logan says that is true here. What is your opinion on that, Gary?
I was trying to listen very carefully, but his thought came to mind about Coventry. Okay? Every white woman has to be under Coventry. I don't know if I'm a little...
Coventry. Explain Coventry.
Well, it has to have a white male over her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when it as a people in a country, even so going so far back as when I was very young, where this practice. The female, I know they don't like to hear this, but the female is subject to the male making a decision, whether it be the grandfather or, somebody in their life, okay, some male in their life. And it seemed to work well. For instance, when we went to a court case one time, and this woman is under covenantry of her husband, and she wore her covenantry into court. And this was a few years back, and the judge dismissed the case real quick. Like, as long as she's under the covenancy of her husband, they had to get permission from her husband to try her. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably a simple traffic ticket or whatever it was, but it explained. I think that in my mind, I might be far out here again. But in my mind, the coventry would explain the fact that there wasn't a pre-existence, so to speak, but they had to come underneath some male. And of course, this is way out to lunch.
Yeah,
you would never hear of anything.
Well, you're probably, like you're trying to say, is that you are essentially speculating, perhaps. You know what I mean?
Well, the coventry was not speculation.
Oh, no. The dominion female under male was pretty well,
right.
If nothing else, established pretty thoroughly under Genesis 3:14.
I think the males misunderstand their position in coventry, and the females have been given a bad thing by coventry. And the coventry means you do the right thing. Underneath the laws of the Father Yadivahi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what it means. I think that the white males, they don't even know who they are, and never mind what the white woman is. So they just take advantage of the coventry. But where the coventry works is, you know, when a woman would lose her husband,
mm-hmm.
or for whatever reason, she would join coventry with a male. He might have a wife, but she didn't become a wife to him. He'd just come underneath to help her with her thought patterns and maybe what to do and how to do it. Okay.
Okay.
Of course, today this is just widely rejected. It's just like the law of the cleansing for the white woman if she has a boy or has a girl. Okay? These laws are only put there in effect for the health of the woman. It's not there.
Well, what I see,
go ahead.
Okay, what I see among a whole bunch of wannabe Anglo mestizos, there's this critter named James the Just here, and he was a saint for a while. I think it's some sort of red digger mamzer, you know, sort of like Visser is, but essentially he was yakking about how he cussed and, you know, when he was 14 or 15 and his red nigger grandmother washed his mouth out with soap. And pretty well, this is when Oba Gender Bender, this was in early 2010, when Oba Gender Bender first showed up, a few others, and especially John Britton pretty well told him is that, at least in the Britton family, when a male, you know, reaches the age of 14 or 15, he is not to be told what to do, even by his mother, you know what I mean, as long as he's of mental competence. So while, you know, mock cussing or whatever, you know, was not a good thing, essentially a woman, at least among the Britton family, sort of lost essentially authority over them here. He could be disciplined by an older male, but when a boy is on the, you know, essentially about to become a man, he no longer is essentially an infant who can be disciplined by his mother, you know, much less the sisters or anything like that here. But and that's pretty well the way, you know, these Anglo mestizos act here. They act the way they think the white men should act, and they read something, and essentially they're imitating white men or wanting to imitate white men, just like Visser, you know, does here. But getting back, do you believe that females end up, even white females, do you believe that they have souls then, or do they generate through good works and being part of the covenant? Do they generate a soul? Or did, you know, white people...
Okay, listen,
I'm asking Gary, I'm trying to go ahead and ask Gary whether or not, I mean, I don't believe in pre-existence, you know, so therefore, that's a question where
we're changing the subject, though, okay? We're talking about women, and the people in the chat room are quoting Paul, and they're saying that when you go to heaven, you won't be male or female, that all white women will turn into a transgender or they'll turn into a white male and a man will turn into a woman and there won't be any male or female in heaven. That's bullshit. Yahweh never said that.
I mean,
you're either a son of Yahweh or a daughter of Yahweh. You're not a transgender homosexual some of these idiots want to teach.
It's good news for Oba Gender Bender. I mean, you know, if only it wasn't a Mamzer Jew here, why, he can go ahead and go up to heaven and then have its gender changed here to where it's neutral, and probably the one-eared dingo will not be allowed into heaven. So Oba Gender Bender is safe from having the rest of his parts chewed up on. Christ said to the Sadducees, and he covered is that the Sadducees, who were the Levitical, mainly the priesthood, the actual priests who were Levites who did not believe in the resurrection, and they would have fun with these Pharisees who were not born, you know, who were not born to be religious leaders, who were not Levites. Essentially, they trip up the Pharisees in their own legalisms by asking about this woman who married a series of seven brothers, married the oldest one, he died, married the second one to raise up seed buyer, he died.
Yeah, I understand that, Mark. I understand that. We're not talking about marriage. We're talking about does everybody have a sex change when they get to heaven? I don't believe that shit. I'm a white male son of Yahweh. I'm not going to turn into an it or a female or some trans. Look, okay, anybody that teaches that bullshit is just, I mean, they're making Yahweh a liar. Yahweh makes everything pure. He makes the races pure. He makes the sexes pure. And, you know, I mean, that's just nonsense. That's nonsense to say that a white woman is all of a sudden going to turn into a white.
I agree, and if Obagender Bender and the Pisser Possums don't like it, well, then they're just going to have to lump it. I don't expect to see them Mamzers and Jews in heaven anyway. The question I wanted to bring back, though, is, you know, essentially, you know, I wanted to ask Gary, does he think that even white women pre-exist? And if they don't pre-exist, can they develop a soul while they're, you know, down here in heaven, when they're under their husbands or their fathers or their brothers, I guess you could say Coventry or Dominion.
Here's the point. Okay, I want to make one point. Gary last week, this came out of his mouth. He said he only thought that certain white males pre-existed. He doesn't believe that every white man that's ever been born or ever will be born until Yahweh's Day of Judgment pre-existed. I agree with that. I also agree that no white female ever existed, pre-existed before Eve came in the flesh body. If you read Adam, okay, when he came in the flesh body, he lived a pretty good while before Yahweh decided to even pull a rib out and make a female. Okay? Now, if Eve pre-existed and she was Adam's soulmate way before in the heavens and she was with Adam in the heavens, then she would have been created at the same time Adam was created. Now, I'll let y'all two argue on that.
Okay. You know, did you hear what you heard what Logan said? Do you agree that even white females do not pre-exist before they are, I guess, incarnate? You know, well, if they didn't pre-exist, they can't be made incarnate. Essentially, they always were carnate. They always were in a fleshly body. So if you don't believe that they pre-existed before their current or their past existence, essentially, yeah. Well, I'm babbling. Do you believe that females pre-existed?
Well, let's look at scripture here a little bit.
Okay.
Eve fell out of fellowship with Adam, in my estimation. And Yadivai, he dealt with her directly.
Mm-hmm.
Said to Eve, "Why have you did what you did?"
This is Genesis chapter 3. Okay.
Why did you do what you did? She says, you know, it's Lucifer's fault. He beguiled me. He sexually seduced me. And I did partake. Okay? So he was dealing directly with her sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And sin is transgression of the law. Adam had a law, and Eve had a law. They don't tell us that in these. You know, you have to go back to the older text to read those. She knew what she did was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So therefore, she has a soul, and Yadivai, he said, I'll redeem you. But her soul doesn't supersede the authority of Adam if he's doing what he's supposed to do. Okay? Now, I don't know, you know, we've discussed that a little bit, and I know that Shane kind of disagrees with that, but regardless, Adam wasn't there, and Eve... Or it did say she admitted to Yadivai. She said she wasn't going to lie, and she said, I did partake. So I think that Yadivai cared for her soul.
That's not the issue, Gary. That's not the issue. What we're saying is, okay, I'm not saying Eve didn't have a soul. I'm saying that a long time ago there were only sons of Yahweh. There were no daughters of Yahweh. I'm saying that Adam, I believe Adam and certain other white males, patriarchs, did pre-exist, but I don't think any white woman pre-existed until Eve came in a flesh body. Because if that was the case, then Yahweh would have made Adam and Eve at the same time when they came in the flesh bodies, but he didn't. Adam lived in a flesh body with Yahweh, running the earth with Yahweh, him and Yahweh together, and then he said Adam was lonely, and then he brought all the black women and the yellow women and the mongrel women and all the so-called beasts and animals, and there was not a suitable helpmate. And then Yahweh decided to make the first white woman. Well, if she pre-exists, so it's not a matter. I'm not saying that even the other white women don't have a soul. I'm saying I don't believe they pre-existed, and they existed as long as the white male.
So the question is, did Eve pre-exist? You know, and essentially, you know, Logan says no. I was wondering what your opinion on it was, Gary.
Well, I don't think she pre-existed, but I was kind of getting a mixed message here.
Okay, we agree, Gary. I agree with everything that you said. You don't think she pre-existed? I don't either. So we're in agreement.
Yeah, what I was saying is, if women didn't pre-exist, well, they didn't have a soul. So maybe I may be confused.
Okay. Well, then the question is, she didn't pre-exist. Second question is, did she generate a soul on Earth, or did Yahweh give her a pinch of soul, or I mean, essentially,
Yahweh gave her the Holy Spirit and gave her a pinch of a soul when he made her, but not before. I believe Adam had a soul before he came in a flesh body. Now, I think that's what Gary believes, too. I'm pretty sure me and Gary are agreeing on this.
Is that so, Gary?
No, I'm trying to get it all together. I believe that she had a soul, okay?
I didn't say it.
All the pretenses that go along with it, they're speculations as far as I can see from Scripture.
Yeah.
The only thing I did was look at Scripture, and I brought up just a portion of that where, and to repeat it, Yadivai, he went to Eve to her directly. He didn't go to Adam and say, Adam, why did Eve do this? Okay? Because Eve done what she wanted to do on her own, which a lot of females do.
That's true. Most of them do nowadays.
And are you responsible for the sins of your wife, for instance, or your daughter? Just because there's a daughter, are you more responsible for the daughter than you would be your son?
Well, Genesis chapter 3, let me see. Genesis chapter 3,
yeah.
Pretty well, Yahweh, if it hasn't been made clear before, if it wasn't made clear to Adam before, it was certainly made clear to where, guess what, woman? You're going to have a number of problems. You're going to, when it comes time to squeeze out an infant, I'm going to increase your burden, your pain, your sorrow. I'm going to, you know, and I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and your conception. In sorrow shall you bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Pretty well, he had consequences for Satan. He said that there would be two seed lines. There would be war between your seed line and essentially the woman's seed line through Eve. This is Genesis 3:15. That is one of the central scriptures behind at least dual seed line Christian identity. And he tells Adam that, guess what? You were in charge. You didn't do a very good job of overseeing things, so therefore I'm going to make it, you know, you're going to have to work for a living, you know, and, you know, even though the caterpillar plant left off here, why, heck, you're sort of out of luck, mister, but in any case, he went ahead and put the man over, the woman, and he pretty well, there was consequences for this disobedience. Excuse me. There was consequences for this disobedience. There were penalties for this disobedience, both upon Adam, upon Satan and Satan's children, and upon the woman. You know, the question, though, that I had is that, from my gather, you don't believe that Eve pre-existed before she did exist. Then you don't believe that Eve pre-existed as a spiritual being and became incarnate.
I tell you what, I cannot answer that truthfully. I would have to think on that and study on that more.
Okay.
What I should say is that I believe she has their own soul. I believe that women have their own soul, and I believe they're responsible for their sin.
Mm-hmm.
You saw there.
I agree with that. And what I'm saying is, I believe that the white males, the angels, and the quote sons of Yahweh that existed for millions of years, probably, probably millions of years with Yahweh before the earth was made. It only talks about males. Obviously the sons of Yahweh existed a long time before the daughters of Yahweh came along. So either Eve did not pre-exist, or she did pre-exist. She maybe didn't live as long as Adam. But all the evidence, I mean, I can't 100% prove it to you and everybody else, Martin, but I would agree with Gary that I tend to lean toward that she did not pre-exist. Because all the evidence shows the sons of Yahweh in heaven. It never talks about, all the angels were male. There were no female angels. And when it talks about in Job, the sons of Yahweh and the angels together praised Yahweh, it doesn't say anything about the daughters of Yahweh. So based on that, and all the quotes and all the other verses of before the earth was created, how the angels were with Yahweh, it never talks about the females. It never talks about the daughters of Yahweh. Based on all of that, I think you can make a strong argument. I'm not going to say I can prove it 100% because, you know, it's kind of hard to prove that point 100%. But I think me and Gary agree on most of what we brought up tonight.
Okay. The reason I did bring it up is that since I don't believe that mortals pre-exist, the reason I did raise the question here is sort of like Christ going ahead puncturing the Sadducees' question that they pretty well fought with the Pharisees about here, and they would puncture the Pharisees because they'd make the Pharisees, and the Pharisees would not altogether agree. They would fight and quarrel and, piss and moan according to their, essentially their traditions of man as to what happened when this woman, they did not believe in the resurrection. They were the Levitical priesthood, essentially the old covenant just had to where they didn't promise you, life after death. It says several times in the Acts to where Paul managed to go ahead and cause a little religious riot and essentially managed to be heard as a Roman citizen in Rome to be judged by the emperor, a.k.a. Nero, under Roman law because he was a, quote, Roman citizen. Peter and James and John and Christ were not Roman citizens. Paul was. And what Christ did was simply ask the Sadducees who had come off from tying the Pharisees into knots, he just simply said, you obviously don't understand the meaning of heaven. There's neither giving nor anything, in marriage. I'm quite, the reason I went ahead and asked the question is that since I do not believe in preexistence, I don't have to have...
We're not talking about marriage. We're talking about if you're a white male on earth, you're going to be a white male in heaven. If you're a white female on earth, you're going to be a white female in heaven. Okay, all this nonsense that we're all going to have a big sex change and we're not male or female anymore. Well, that's... Look, as it is in the heavens, so it shall be in the earth. As it is in the earth, so it shall be in the heavens. Okay, there's a distinction between male and female on earth. There's going to be a distinction between male and female in heaven. Okay, so if it's a sin on earth to be a transgender like Obadiah 1:18, then it would be a sin in heaven, like they're saying that. Paul said you can go to heaven and all the white women are going to turn to white males and we'll all be white males. That's bullshit, Martin.
Okay, my point is. Things are easier for me in that, since I don't believe in pre-existence, I don't have to answer the questions to whether or not females have souls. You know, when, you know, if they didn't have souls and they didn't pre-exist, then when do they gain souls, or do they never get souls? I mean, essentially, are they, in the same category as beasts of the field who have no souls? And essentially, since I don't believe in pre-existence, I don't have to answer questions because, you know, pretty much I don't have to answer such questions because I don't believe that anybody pre-existed. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, you're saying part of the reason I brought that up here was to, since I don't believe in the pre-existence, I mean, essentially I don't have to worry too much as to whether Eve pre-existed, because, you know, as opposed to Adam, because essentially Eve didn't pre-exist, but she didn't lose anything by it because I never thought she did pre-exist, you know. I don't have to worry about how she develops a soul, because essentially I think that she had a portion of the Holy Spirit when she was created, just like the Israelites, you know, the Israelite people, when they are born, I don't believe they pre-existed, that they were, that we, you know, that I was a spiritual being before I existed. I believe that since I was born of Israelite parents, that upon some time after birth, I was given, perhaps at birth, like the Worldwide Church of God, is that I was given a portion of Yahweh's Holy Spirit, so therefore I can become a son of God through, you know, faith and grace and good works. So, pretty well, I don't have to answer the question as to whether or not women have souls, where did they get the souls if they didn't have them before they pre-existed. I don't have to answer. I don't have to worry about that question. You understand what I'm saying, Gary, right?
I understand that part, yeah.
Yeah. And so as a result here, maybe some of this was a little bit of, essentially a little bit of mischief, because, if we pre-existed, if some of the people pre-existed, then essentially they are, you know, on the level of, essentially, in many cases, you know, angels, and then you get into Mormonism. The Mormons believe that, well, sort of like, I guess, sort of like old Mitt Romney. He's a good Mormon. And when Mormon missionaries come by, I like having a little bit of fun with them. Essentially ask them about what happened to my heavenly cadaver. I mean, what happened to my heavenly body? You know, I mean, now that I pre-existed here, and I guess I came in better, you know, than in many cases. Mormonism is close to Hinduism in that white males essentially were the thrice born. You know what I mean? They were they literally were the three, they had a leg up on the quote untouchables, which were these Dravidian niggers that they conquered. See, they loaded up their ox carts somewhere between, you know, what? Oh, you know, somewhere between, 2000 B.C. and 3500 B.C., they loaded up their ox carts. They believed essentially in the sky gods, the thunder gods, the war gods, you know, an overall creator god called Brahim. Essentially, they loaded up their ox carts, and they left from what became known as Persia. They loaded up, and they went through, you know, Afghanistan, through the Kabul Pass here, the Khyber Pass. They conquered the crap out of these niggers, Dravidian niggers, and pretty well what they, you know, they were outnumbered by better than 100 to 1, and they set up a caste system. They understood that if essentially we allow ourselves to breed with these niggers, within what, 2 or 3 generations, there won't be any of us left. We'll just be a bunch of mongrel niggers. So they set up what they called the caste system, and the word for caste was Varna, which meant color. And as a result, they conquered these niggers, and their belief in essentially a sky god, be it Woden or Zeus, and a thunder god, be it Thor or Apollo or whatever, went ahead and changed the nature of their Baals, the nature of their, you know, personal gods, polytheistic gods changed to where they started believing that, you know, they believed that essentially the Mormons believe in preexistence. I don't think they believe in reincarnation, but essentially the Hindus definitely do believe in reincarnation. So do the Buddhists. You know, because it's an offshoot of Buddhism. Buddhism is an offshoot of Hinduism. So in many cases, once you get from preexistence, you end up believing like the Mormons do, is that I guess Mittens is about a cycle or so ahead of Ann Romney. So essentially he came back as a white man, where I guess he was a better class of angel preexistent, whereas she was just a slightly, you know, she's underneath old Mittens because she wasn't quite as good of a godling in the heavens. And essentially, Al Sharpton here is quite a few layers below even Ann Romney. You understand what I'm saying? So you end up having these Mormons and, you know, whenever the little missionaries come by, I like having, you know, Roxy just doesn't like, you know, doesn't even like having them around here. But essentially, I like messing with their little heads here. So I've sort of heard the preexistence thing before from Mormons, and I really annoyed some of them. I've confused a number of them, and I've annoyed the crap out of a bunch of them. Now, what has happened, though, especially around here, I don't know what it is, but these Mormons who are high up in the Mormon faith, they always have a son who wants to marry a Japper. He wants to marry a Japanese female. You know, not a Japanese-American princess. They want to marry a Japanese female. And they get all huffy when I say is that, well, shoot, what you're doing is you're mongrelizing. Your children, essentially, your grandchildren are going to be a bunch of little, you know, slant-eyed bastards. And they don't like hearing that. Yeah. Logan, you typing next to the phone?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem here. I don't know. I mean, you know, this preexistence is new to me. I probably am not going to exist. And the reason I went ahead and brought it up is that essentially I guess I wanted to ask a number of questions here. And I think you've gone ahead and answered them. We covered telegony. Well, let me see. We've been talking for about an hour of the two that we're going to cover. Essentially, I do intend to end the show sometime around 10 o'clock my time. That'll be 11 o'clock Gary's time. Is there any other questions here? Essentially, the Pisser Possum, he showed up, and him and this Jew, Neuskike, were yapping crap about how they wanted to have a debate and they wanted to have it structured. Well, I've been on the Neuskike show before, and what you end up having is you end up having the dirty Jew, Neuskike, who pretends to be an Aryan living in Iceland, and you have the Pisser Possum. Essentially, they team up, they tag team and chimp out on me. And I suggested that some Tuesday night we have a debate, and essentially I control the debate. You know, I go ahead and mute the Pisser Possum wherever the hell I want to. Essentially, I do on, you know, Tuesday nights what this Neuskike, you know, character and the Pisser Possum do to me. And then on Wednesday, I would go ahead and call in to the Pisser Possum turds, is like I call it, where they have their little Pisser Possum, you know, essentially their Pisser Possum over gender bender show. And essentially, they could go ahead and do unto me what I did unto them the night previous here. Essentially, it'll just be sort of like a best one out of two here. But it looks like the Pisser Possum's here. But tonight, I don't really want to deal with Pisser Possums. Although, unlike Jeremy, I allow the Pisser Possum to have its, you know, fun here. Maybe the Pisser Possum will learn something, and once they learn something, they'll figure out it's a supporting Jew, Melungeon, Mamzer, and run off. Anyway, you know, is there anything you want to go ahead and cover tonight for the second hour of the Bible study?
Gary. Go ahead, Gary. You want to break something up, Gary?
Oh, I'm open to whatever you guys
have. Okay, I want to bring up something real quick then.
Sure.
Now,
let's change the subject.
You already know how me and Gary feel about Paul, and we don't feel he's necessary for salvation, and we don't really want to push him. But people in the chat room keep on pushing Paul and saying, well, Paul said there's not going to be males or females in heaven, but we're all going to be transgender. Okay.
Hold on a minute. I was hoping that Obagender Bender could show up and, of course, push that notion. That would be oh so well hilarious here.
Well, what I'm saying is, I brought up another point too, because Paul. You see, this is my point. If you want to accept Paul as a disciple or as legitimate, then maybe his words have been adulterated. But the modern King James and the modern translations of the Bible, the writings of Paul have contradictions in them. For instance, Paul says that Eve sinned first, and Eve sinned, and she brought sin to the world with Satan, and that she caused all women to have pain in childbearing. But Paul says, or at least the modern Bible says, Paul said that women, white women, will be saved in childbearing and having children and raising children. But then Paul goes right around later on in a different verse, okay, in the writings of Paul. Paul says that all white men and all white women should be like him and not get married. And it's better for a white man not to touch a woman. But then he says it's okay to greet the holy brothers with a holy kiss and to hug on your brothers, but don't touch women. He says don't touch women, don't get married, and white men shouldn't get married, and white women shouldn't get married. But the only way women are going to be saved is through childbearing. So I guess Paul wants to send all the white women to hell enough to get married, but the only way they can be saved is by having children. So that's a bunch of shit, isn't it?
Well, pretty well, you know, I've been thinking. See, I did a lot of lawn mowing the last, you know, day or so. I was sort of thinking while I was lawn mowing in that, you know, it's pretty well admitted that Peter and James and John and the disciples who Christ originally had, you know, outside of Judas, of course, who was dead now, that essentially in many cases when Christ sends them off, he sends them, you know, there's 12 disciples, and Christ sent them, you know, in various times during his ministry, he'd send them to be instructed, and then he'd send them back out to the various tribes of Israel, scattered all the way from Britain to India. And from what I gather, the one who essentially did the most wandering was Thomas, who not only helped set up with the Ethiopian white eunuch. You know, essentially it was the Ethiopian, which meant that, you know, it wasn't like it is today. It could have very well been a white man who got his nuts cut. Essentially, he went ahead and discussed that. And essentially, Thomas went ahead and founded quite a bit of what became known as the Coptic Church in Egypt and essentially beyond the cataracts of Egypt in Ethiopia. But also, Thomas was murdered in Goa, India, essentially by these sort of Jews. He went to India to essentially talk to the Israelites who lived in India. Well, my Gary never went to Britain, but you know, Thomas went through from Ethiopia to India, and essentially you could say that he might, you know, he ministered to the southern, you know, lost Israelites in many cases. So you have where Christ in what Matthew chapter 6 says, you know, he says, you know, what was it? You know, let me go ahead and quote the actual thing here. Six verse. You know, I'm in Genesis here. I need to get to Matthew chapter 6. I'm
turning my Bible to it here. Matthew chapter 6 here. Let me see here. Maybe it was Matthew chapter 10 verse 6 here. I sort of remember, let me see here. Matthew 10, chapter 10, he goes ahead and he names the 12 apostles, and essentially the first Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, and says Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, I've always wondered, what Simon, hey, Logan, could you get your phone away from the keyboard?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In any case, I've always wondered about this Simon the Canaanite, and John Britton said his father James had an answer for that. But it said, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter you not. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And folks, these lost Israelites, see, he's not talking about the Judeans. He's not talking about the Benjamites. They were not the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They knew who they were. Right? The ones who lived in Judea and in Galilee, they were not the lost sheep. They knew who they were, right? So which of lost Israelites is he going to? Well, these Israelites who were lost, who were scattered, who in many cases lost their identity from Britain to India. You know, he pretty well told them to go and talk to them, but don't go to the Samaritans, don't go to the Gentiles, you're not supposed to be heading off to China, you're not supposed to be heading off to Africa, you're not supposed to be heading a number of places, you're supposed to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay, so in many cases, when you talk about Paul being the, essentially, apostles to the Gentiles, for critters like Visser and critters like those, you know, mongrels the Roman Catholic Church has brought in, and a number of them, I go ahead and ask these folks, if you're saying that Paul is your apostle, then essentially you're saying that you are a Gentile and not a lost Israelite then, right?
Right, that's correct.
Okay? So, in many cases here, I mean, Gary sort of opened my eyes here comparing Romans chapter 4 with Genesis, I believe, chapter 26, where he was talking to Isaac, you know, and in your seed shall be known as Isaac here. And essentially that's used as essentially the Saxons here, or the I-Saxons is pretty well what many of them are called here. But going on, let me see. Well, yeah, it's pretty well. Frank Winger, that's fine here. Around here, you can go ahead and talk as you please here. You won't be muted by the fickle genie. So, in any case, folks, I don't believe in taking Paul out of the Bible. Sort of like in the book of Job, when they're talking about the sons of God, I don't believe he was talking about physical people. Beings, you know, mortal beings being up in the heavens. Essentially, he's talking to Yahweh,
okay,
is son of Satan. Yahweh is the son of
me and Gary don't have a use for Paul. I mean, Paul doesn't say the only Yahweh in the red letters, and Paul has contradictions. Paul's very confusing. Paul is now. Since you think Paul. Now, according to everything me and Gary have read, he wasn't a disciple, an apostle. There were only 12, and Matthias was number 12. Judas and Paul and Barnabas and all these other people were not apostles of Yahweh. Now, if maybe he was a disciple, even if he was a disciple,
well,
even if he was a legit. I want to pose this question to you. Now, you admitted to me and Gary, you know John 3:16, 17, and 18 is phony. Why can't you admit that some of the writings of Paul may have been tampered with in the modern Bibles? Because if you read the writings
maybe,
of Paul, the way it's
maybe,
written,
maybe
no
they
in hell
have. Maybe they have, but, you know, pretty well, those who go ahead and, as I look at, they go ahead and they say that Paul is a disciple, an apostle. I say he's an apostle to the Gentiles. Therefore, what manner of Gentile be you? I mean, since I got a whole two programs a week here dealing with these, quote, Gentiles who have claimed to be Christian identity and what manner of Gentiles they be, i.e., like Eli James and Jeremy Visser, they're Sephardic Jew Gentiles, and like, and Brian Real and the rest here, essentially the ones who come in. I mean, in many cases, I don't see a need to literally cut Paul out of the Bible. I think he has some uses in that understanding, you know, just like Job had to understand that no matter how many works you have, how much righteousness you have, your righteousness as a mortal is nothing more than, quote, filthy rags. But in any case, even Paul understood in a number of places I've read him is that Paul was told that he was an antinomian. And I'd like to go ahead and give Jeremy Visser credit for having that Baptist hobbyist bell priest, Don Spears, on, who essentially not only does like Sephardic Jew, Mams, or Melungeons, but essentially, you know, because he brings up all this Paul stuff here, essentially is nothing more than an antinomian. I listened again to essentially Eli or James and Finkelshimi, and Eli or James is absolutely correct when he says that Fink is an antinomian, because essentially if you're saying all Israel shall be saved, if you're white, you can commit all the crimes and the sins that you want, essentially that is indeed an antinomian or an anti-law idea, okay? Essentially, you know, these people, these critters who do not belong, they will raise up their apostle beyond the apostles that Christ created. So in many cases, it's sort of like, and Robert Friends went ahead and made the same point here. He said that if you compare it, if it's a matter of a hierarchy, Jesus Christ is sort of like the general, and he says, "Go ye not to the to the Gentiles," and then you compare Paul to where essentially Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. The question of it is that who has a higher ranking, Christ or Paul? And Robert Friends, who pretty well wrote the best white nationalist thinking page, First Amendment Exercise Machine, said that, Christ is more like the general and Paul is like the corporal. The corporal does not give orders that counteract that of the general. So
John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born of a woman. He sure as hell was better than Paul, and he was humble enough to say, "I'm not even worthy to tie the shoelaces of Yahweh in a flesh body, Yeshua." Paul was arrogant. Paul said, "I'm the greatest apostle." Paul said, "I'm this, I'm that." That's not the way a son of Yahweh is supposed to act. He didn't have the humility of John the Baptist. He didn't even have the humility of the true 12 apostles. I mean, Peter was a hothead and Thomas was a doubter. But if you go back and look, all I'm saying is if you want to say Paul was a disciple or he was some kind of follower, then you have to look at his words in the modern scriptures, and his words in the modern scriptures do not line up with the red letters. They have contradictions within themselves. So, fine.
Well,
you can admit.
I mean, Logan, I pretty well agreed with you and Gary in that essentially, in many cases, Paul is bringing up, and, in very many cases, the partisans of Paul will say as much as that Paul was teaching a new covenant. And essentially with this new covenant, you brought in a new law and a new people. Essentially the old law, in many cases, with Paul is being done away with. so that he can bring in this new people, you know, this new people who are not Israel. And pretty well that, you know, I think that is what Gary tried and succeeded in doing in comparing Genesis chapter 26 of the covenant with Isaac as opposed to Romans chapter 4 and this new covenant with Paul. So in many cases, Paul is bringing in a new covenant, and a new covenant means a new law and a new people. And in many cases, essentially in Christian identity, especially the dual seed line version, those of us who are of the old people, i.e. Israel, and those who have the, you know, essentially we're the old people who have the old law, that which was given down by Moses. And essentially what Christ has done is he's not only fulfilled the law, he's gone ahead and made it not only a matter of obeying the letter of the law, but the spirit as well, which is something we're able to do, and that these non-whites, these Jews who are trying to change things, are not able to do. Understood? So I'm agreeing with you, Logan. I'm hoping you'll take yes for an answer. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
All I'm saying is, when me and Gary go to an Israelite that has never heard the dual seed line message, we use the Old Testament. We use the red letters in the New Testament. And really, if I just have that, I don't even need the majority of the rest of the New Testament. If I've got the red letters, I really don't need anything else. And,
Logan, when I'm talking to an Israelite, be it locked up in the nut house, or last week when I was talking to this guy who fixes lawnmowers, I see an Israelite. And essentially, most of the time, his head has been filled with crap, And essentially, about every single time I see when I'm talking to an Israelite, I'm not talking to a nigger or a mud, or most of the time I don't even talk to them at all. You know what I mean? I don't like them. You know, it makes sense. I do not like them, and they don't like me. Essentially, when I'm talking to an Israelite, you know, essentially most of the time they got a whole bunch of crap from the Baal churches, you know, the New Covenant cornholers and the rest of these clowns, you know, between their ears. And what I will do is I will talk to them a little bit, and what I will see is sort of like, you know, you're starting a cheap match. You'll go ahead and see a little bit of a flicker of the flame here, and essentially within 30 seconds, you see it in their eyes, it lights up, and then mostly it dies. You know what I mean? Because what happens is the crap that they've been programmed with takes over. You understand what I'm saying? And essentially, most of the time, like when I'm in the nut house, well, I had a Bible in the nut house, but I didn't have it handy. Or, you know, when I'm talking to this, you know, white criminal who essentially he admitted he was screwed up in the head. He said his mother dropped him on his head when he was 8 or 9, and he's been screwed up since. And essentially, he was such a criminal, like a number of these characters. Essentially, he got out of prison, and he lasted about 6 months. And he wanted to go back to prison, so he assaulted. Essentially, he went to a grocery store with a knife. He was hoping he'd be killed by a policeman or sent back to prison. And essentially, he tried to rob a grocery store during broad daylight. And essentially, he didn't really want the money. He wanted to be sent back. He wanted a reason to be sent back to prison. And essentially, he got what he wanted. Eventually, they put him in, you know, he stabbed a police officer. You know, that's why he was given, you know, more time. Essentially, what happens, he told the psychiatrist he wanted to go to, I mean, essentially, he didn't really mean to stab the police officer. He was hoping the police officer would shoot him. Essentially, he was hoping to either be shot by a police officer, or he was hoping to be, you know, essentially sent back to prison. That's what he got. He got a 10-year bid, and, you know, actually, he was probably hoping for 15 or 20, but essentially, by this time, he's been doped up, you know. He was running out of dope, too, and essentially been doped up, and so from what I gather, he got a 10-year bid. He might be out, and maybe he's planning to essentially rob another supermarket. But I talk to these characters, you know, my lawnmower man. I don't have a Bible with me. essentially. And you just go ahead and, you know, when white people ask, why are you wearing half a beard? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? What do you believe in? Say you're a pastor, and I explain to them if they're white. And I'll see a little flicker of interest in their eyes, and then almost always, it is, you know, the crap that they've been taught, the crap they've been indoctrinated, the Judeo-Wigger crap goes ahead, and essentially, you know, they begin to see something here, and then, okay, if I believe this, then all the stuff I've been taught isn't true no more, and they don't want to bother with it. And essentially, you see a little flicker in their eyes, and it gets extinguished real quick. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I've seen it. I've seen it happen about 10, 15 times. You know what I mean? You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, generally, what I've heard here about people who, you know, most of them were, you know, most of the characters I've been with before, you know, with the exception of John Britton, and he pretty well, he'd heard of me. I'd gone ahead and wrote a bunch of Christian identity material politically, and either in December 2004, after I got kicked off of Linder's VNNF forum here after, causing trouble for Traitor Glenn Miller on the, after the Christmas coup in 2004, Linder banned me. You know, pretty well banned me, banned Harold Covington, banned, you know, I mean, I was one of the first people got banned. I think I was the second or maybe the first person banned because I fought with Traitor Glenn Miller over on VNNF here when Billy Roper took it over for, 2 weeks? And essentially, John Britton wanted me to support Morris Collette. Didn't want me to support Wickstrom. Didn't want me to support, that idiot August Christ. And essentially, you know, he wanted me to support Gillette, and I supported Gillette. You know, but what happens, Gillette was just nothing more than just a drunken crackhead criminal. That's all he was. That's all he'll ever be, and now he's a Zogbot. You know, he is white, and occasionally he can speak a pretty good dual seed line Christian identity sermon. But most of the time, he's just a dry crackhead, just like George, W. Bush here. You can't get anything useful out of him, and him, for his part, he's figured out that having an actual white ministry means that, you know, white people like John Britton or me won't support him because essentially we don't have to. I mean, we can have our own ministries. And as a result, he goes ahead and brings in a bunch of niggers. He supposedly brought in Jeremy Visser, even though Visser was trying to steal his his trust fund along with Brian Wright. I mean, you end up having just Manfred's galore here, but that's where I first met John Britton, and essentially that was the first time I met somebody who was actually grown up in dual seed line. Most of the dual seed line people I met were people who, essentially old Herbert W. Armstrong, they came in through the Worldwide Church of God. And essentially, they didn't much care for Herbert's crap. They, they'd heard about Herbert molesting his daughter. They heard, essentially, they seen how old Herbert was taking about a third of idiot's income here and spending it on himself, and how little girls were dying of a. I was talking to my sister here about how my dad got disfellowshipped 3 times, and I said the first time was when. Essentially my dad, I got sick in around Easter in 1972, and essentially it was from a tetanus sliver, and I ended up getting osteomyelitis, which is pretty well a Swedish disease. And essentially my dad got disfellowshipped for daring to put me in the hospital. And Don Mason, he was Herbert Armstrong's local hollow man. And what happened 7 weeks before, he killed his own daughter. He couldn't send his daughter for a ruptured appendix to the hospital. He had to give her a worthless anointing cloth. And I guess the little girl's faith and his faith wasn't good enough. So he had a dead oldest daughter. And here is my dad, who essentially defies him, tells him to stick his anointing cloth up his ass, and essentially puts his oldest son in a hospital. He has his enemy has a live son, and he has a dead daughter. And there were, Dad nearly got disrupted second time for telling, at this funeral, this working man. My dad used to treat his cows and his kids with cow penicillin. It was called Lincosin. You could buy it for, $250, or Combiotic or whatever. It was called Lincosin. It was penicillin for cows. Essentially, my dad would he'd inject either an ailing cow or an ailing kid with cow penicillin. And John Britton's father did the same dang thing here. What I didn't like is my dad wouldn't buy the little bitty syringes here. He'd use this big old huge glass of stainless steel with a needle, the size bigger than a pencil register. I mean, it'd take out a big old hunk out of you, if he treats you with cow Lincosin. But essentially, my dad didn't have a problem with medicine. I mean, actual medicine, Essentially, most of the people who I've seen who come into Christian Identity, they were people who had enough of Herbert Armstrong's pastoral abuse. Essentially, Herbert Armstrong's little hollow men would do whatever the hell they wanted to do. They were little Herbert's little tin gods on earth. And my dad wouldn't bow down to them. I mean, I remember, here comes Don Mason and this new little preaching elder who just come out of Ambassador College, and they come out to the farm to look at my mom's housekeeping, and my mom was a piss poor housekeeper. I mean, especially she scared newspapers and shit all over the house. She didn't really keep a spick and span. She didn't bother with it. And essentially, us kids didn't really give a crap either about it. And essentially, they want to get out of the car, and my dad wouldn't, tie the dog up. He said, "You better not get out of here. You better pray that God goes ahead and closes my dog's mouth here, like, Daniel in the lion, because essentially, we'll see how great your faith is here." old dad got, the third time he got disfellowshipped was essentially, bringing this old guy to Garter Ted. But essentially, most of the people I met, at least in the early, at least in the mid-90s when I went back to, British Israelitism and, Herbert Armstrong's church without Herbert, generally most of the people used to be Worldwide Church of God people. And they said, why'd you go dual seed line? And the answer is it clicked. It made scientific sense. It made biblical sense. I remember when I was a kid asking, if it's just Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Cain's killed Abel, why does Cain need to have a mark on his face? I mean, don't Adam and Eve have enough sense to tell their daughters to stay away from Cain? You know what I mean? You'd ask rational questions like that, and Herbert Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong's church didn't have anything to say, but Herbert pretty well screwed up his church and gave it to a bunch of Jews anyway. So, any case, that's how I got into it. So, in many cases, I have a little bit of problem. I have a little bit of problem with, and in many cases, I don't bother here. I mean, they quoted Paul quite a bit here, but I have understood is that essentially, If we're Israel, and we essentially have the old covenant, we have the old covenant. The only part for the new covenant that we need is understanding that Christ not only made it the matter of obeying the law, but he made it a matter of obeying the spirit of the law. You understand what I'm saying? As well, Christ didn't do away with any of the law. Rather, he fulfilled the law and he expounded on the law. So essentially, now, if we wish to get eternal life, we need to essentially follow these, not only the letter of the law, the spirit of the law, but only among our own kind, only among Israelites, niggers and Jews and chinks and beaners, they don't have, and sinful wiggers don't have any, should not have any expectation that I need to treat them in a Christian manner here. I mean, essentially, I'm not going to take what is holy and give it to these dogs, you know, or, you know, cast pearl before swine here. I mean, essentially, if you're a Jew or a nigger or a beaner or a gook or whatever, you don't, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have any rights. And essentially, if you're a Whigger who is essentially destroying or giving away our common birthright, you don't have any rights either. I mean, essentially, in fact, you have less excuse than a Jew or a nigger or whatever, because essentially you're supposed to be better than that. You understand what I'm saying? So, in a case,
basically, Martin, what I was trying to say is this. Yeah, you say that Paul, you agree Paul's been abused, but can you also agree that if you're going to believe Paul was, whether you believe he's apostle, disciple, legit, can you also, if you're going to accept that, can you say that maybe in the modern translations that his writings have been adulterated the same way?
I think that Paul's writings have been, well, even if they haven't been adulterated, you look at who is promoting them, i.e., by grace alone are ye saved. I mean, even if Paul hasn't been changed, you will have antinomians who will want to bring in niggers and Jews and gooks and mamzers. I mean, even if you take Paul as is, word for word, he's still being perverted quite a bit by these, you know, critters who have come in because they believe they have a new covenant, right? Logan, can you hear me? I think Gary can hear me, but again, he's on the house phone. I don't know if I'm being heard on TalkShoe or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, part time. Well, you know, here's the other thing that we discussed a little bit. I've got the work. I didn't get it out tonight, but I didn't know where you were going. But with Paul, I've got all kinds of things about Paul. So just bear with me just a minute here.
Okay, but you do understand, even if Paul hasn't been changed, he's perverted by the purveyors of Paul.
I think it is as it is. And the reason I say that is I went right on down the line and I said, Paul had his own apostles. So I said, okay, fine. So I go down and I get into the Davis Dictionary, get in Strong's Recordings, and I check out all his apostles. Okay? Only one. I don't know, he had a number of them there. I have to get it out some night for you if you want to look at it. But only one, and I think his name was Rufus, is mentioned any other place except in Romans where Paul names his apostle. And the word apostle there is the same number and the same Greek word for apostles that's used back for when Yahweh appointed his apostles.
Okay.
They're used it the same way, okay? And nowhere in Scripture, except like Rufus, and I think they said it may have been his dad who carried the cross or something. It was just something that was added. But nowhere do you find anything else except right in there. There's no other verses that talk about the apostles of Paul. None.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
I agree. Can y'all hear me?
Now we can.
Yeah, okay, so...
Okay, okay, go ahead.
Shane, I'm talking. So anyhow, I believe Paul's writings are as they are, and as Paul put them together, he was a deceiver to the Israelites. He even went, if you look in Ephesians, they ran him out of there. Some of the churches he went to were the ones that John the Revelator went to, the Apostle John, and established churches, as you mentioned, Thomas and other things. Paul is a destroyer. Paul has destroyed our race of people more than any other person that's ever walked or wrote anything on the face of this earth. And the reason I can say that every year it gets worse. I said to my wife, if we're going to go up and see our son, I'll bet you $99 out of 100 or 99% that he'll be teaching out of hall. Walked into church, and sure enough, he was teaching about the Apostle Paul and how they had to go to these foreign countries and they had these old children lying go to Mexico, see? So I see Paul as Paul. I see absolutely when I started to establish what I was going to say at the first meeting I said it at, I had already established quite a study on Paul. Of course I got some different writings from the people who loved Paul. And then I followed their life, and I followed where they were going, and they also were deceivers to the house of Israel. To me, it's anything that deceives the children of Israel, sons and daughters of Israel, is a deceiver. They're evil, and every thought they have is evil. I don't agree that anything in there was put in there by anybody else except Paul. And somebody said, well, Paul may not exist today. It doesn't matter if he did or didn't. This is where the credit goes to. Paul existed in history. I've got that in the book. Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin court. You don't have to know much about that. Read about the Sanhedrin court. Okay.
Well, that was the same court which went and condemned Jesus.
That's right.
Condemned Christ.
Exactly. And he holds nothing. The only reason I leave it in there, okay, is for my son or some of these Judeos. The only reason I'd make any time about looking it up is because of the Judeos. When I say to a Judeo or a Christian identity person, did you know that Paul had his own apostles? And we're not talking about somebody who just goes to church on Sunday. We're talking about the preachers. They didn't know that.
Paul has his own church within a church which was to the Gentiles, i.e. not the Israelites.
Right. And it's strictly, and they've taken over, Paul's taken over little by little in this country more and more and more. If you would go back in time, and I've been trying to get this law, and maybe Martin, you could help do this, but there's a law in this country at one time. If you put a Christmas tree up, you went to jail.
Well, it depended on what. I mean, you know, you got to realize the original 13 colonies, in many cases, about every single colony had its own church.
Yep.
And essentially, Virginia and the Carolinas was pretty well set up by... Well, there's a book by this David Hackworth Fisher called Albion Seed, and he pointed out that the Puritans were, you know, they were Angles who came from, you know, from Anglia. They came from Eastern England around the Fen section here. The Quakers were essentially these Danish invaders who came from the mid, you know, came from the mid-English. The Scots-Irish essentially were these borderers, and the Saxons were from the south and east of England, and they followed the Church of England. So essentially you had, in the case of Virginia, you had a established church, and you could get, you know, Patrick Henry helped, even though his uncle, his father's uncle was actually a licensed Anglican minister, and he didn't really like old Patrick Henry allowing. Oh, hell. Shoot. Oh, heck. I'm going to have to. Hold on. I ended up having go ahead and open up a browser. I'm trying to mute the pretty well the sound here so I can go ahead and save the chat. By the way, if you want to talk about more weirdo, you know, more the most weirdos you're seeing here, it's supposedly these Christian Day pastors. What I've seen, and part of it part of it, I got to go ahead and give Jeremy Visser, the Sephardic Melange and Pisser Possum, credit. He had this character, Don Spears, and I guess this Don Spears is some sort of Judeo-Wigger, quote, former Baptist. He's not a former Baptist. He essentially believes by grace alone are you saved and all this sort of thing. So I'm quite sure that Finkelschini and the Pisser Possum will call me a ball basher as well. But what I've seen, especially among the Baptists around here, is, you know, and I think it's good that they do go to the jails. But, you know, it's just like someone said, is that you are saving all these mamsers. You're saving all, trying to save all these niggers. You're trying to give them Christianity. And essentially, especially among criminals, and what you're doing is that you are eating a whole dumpster full of garbage people, in order to, quote, essentially save a grape. You know what I mean? Eating a whole dumpster full of garbage. You know, that's what this New Covenant nonsense, you know, is all about here. It's bringing people who do not belong into Israel. And Paul is pretty well, it's just sort of like, you know, putting a hypodermic in a sewer. I mean, it's going ahead and injecting filthy people, lawless people, people who have no Christianity but who want to claim to be Christian, into essentially the body of Christ. You know what I mean? And a doc, you know, I mean, you would wonder about a doctor who essentially, you know, got out a big old needle and, you know, went over to a cesspool and drew up about, what, 100, you know, milliliters of sewage, and then injected it into your body. You know what I mean? That wouldn't be good for you, now would it? Huh. You know, and in many cases, Paul is used for that. So even if Paul, you know, regardless of what Paul wanted to do, but like you pointed out, he did have his own apostles, and he was, I think, trying to change it from the old covenant of, you know, not only faith. I believe you have to have faith. I do, you know, I do believe that, you know, I do believe that you have to have grace, but I also believe you have to have works. And I have to, you know, and essentially our particular religious belief, a dual seed line Christian identity, says that you have to also have race. And so when I see critters like Eli James and Jeremy Visser and Brian Rio and Clifton Nemheiser, all these other mamsers, I'm not surprised here that they, essentially the scruffy Jew crew sneaks in, essentially by going ahead and claiming to follow Paul. You know what I mean? You can't, you shouldn't be too surprised the more you see that. Now, I'm not ready to altogether write Paul off, but you know, I've always thought you have to essentially keep an eye on these creatures who quote Paul. I mean, I do believe that, yes, by grace you are saved, that you need, you know, you do need, you know, but, you know, and I do believe that no matter how good your works are, they still are no good, better than filthy rags. But on the other hand, I see all these critters, I see all these critters coming in who essentially don't know the law, do not like the law, do not like the law which says they do not belong. I mean, essentially, you know, Brian Real isn't going to go ahead and obey the law which says he has no part in it. Jeremy Visser is not going to obey the law which says he has no part in it. You know, Eli James is not going to obey the law which says he has no part in it. Now, is he?
Yeah. Well, see, the most important part of the law, there's many, many, many important, but just for us on a daily basis, one of the most important parts of the law is the sabbatical land laws. And the reason I say that is there's certain things that happen if you practice sabbatical law. And he did. He put Israel in bondage for many, many years and just because he disobeyed the sabbatical law, not because they committed adultery even. And he made a very point of it. But when he said, this is for our help, There's more to the thing. If you just look selfishly at it, it's what we do here in agriculture that affects you in Tennessee or Missouri or wherever you're at if you're not in agriculture because you're eating our products.
And the law was made for, well, the Israelite man. not the Israelite man, you know, like these Pharisee Jews like to say, was not made for our interpretation of the law, but rather, you know, the law was made for the Israelite man.
Right, the cleansing. For instance, just the cleansing for the women. If she had a male or she had a female.
Mm-hmm.
It is for the health of the women.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the down. It was just part of the Yad Vashti he had for the women.
Mm-hmm.
So when he did all these different things, we did a practice, and it was just an interesting practice, and hadn't done it for, you know, years and years, not told to do it. And if you wanted to destroy a nation, destroy their health. I said, you know, after I come out of Ford Hospital and I got aware of really what was going on, you know, there's no way that we could ever, even if we bring all the jobs back to America, which is not going to happen, there's no way we can afford this health plan.
Well, it's not meant to be afforded. I mean, pretty well what it's meant.
$37.50 an hour as a nurse.
Yeah.
I mean, God, that not even skilled engineers are making $37.50 an hour. You know, and it's the service industry. It was not the level of nurse. I'm not doing that. But when you look at the healthcare problem, there is no way possible. From just what I had done in the hospital, that I could ever pay for it.
Well, it's meant. It's pretty much what it's meant is that the big pharma and the rest have pretty well set to where essentially they're not only going to take what 1/5 of it, they're going to go ahead and take a half of it. Essentially, Medicare is pretty well doomed, and what Obamacare is meant to do. Essentially, is take, you know, cut the Medicare for the old white people,
right.
Essentially give niggers and beaners free, you know, health care.
Well, they want the old people to die. So the only way a white person is going to be able to live is if you're young and productive and you can be a good wage slave for the Jews. But my mom even says Obamacare is going to destroy.
All right. Let me bring this in. All these things has nothing to do with anybody else except ourselves. In my case, I had to stand before anybody and admit that I was a workaholic. I never rested. I didn't take any of those things. When I got in the hospital, I got a real chance to rest. Okay? I mean, I got a chance to rest, and I still rest quite heavily.
Yeah.
You see, we don't teach our people. It's not taught on the seventh day you rest. On the seventh year, you rest the land and you rest yourself. Then there's the Golden Jubilee. We know about it in some cases, but we're too busy worrying about all these little details that we should be teaching the main course. But because we're so far away from agriculture, we don't understand where our health comes from. Okay? And now, not only have we've disobeyed all the laws of Yad Vashti, I talk to identity people that are in a group, and they're farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And they said we couldn't even think of affording to set our land aside the whole farm 1 year. Who's going to pay the taxes?
Yeah. Well, it's set to where there can't be any rest until it crashes.
Yeah, but
it's pretty well what they're doing.
We brought it on ourselves. I brought it on myself, and I always said to a farmer, I was quite a good consultant when it comes to dairy and land and things. I said, you go to the mirror, and I do that every day here. I go to the mirror and say, there's something wrong, and it's my fault. And until we're willing to bend our knee to Yad Vashti, 2, 3, 4, 5 at a time, we're surely not going to bring anybody else into this until we say, it's our fault. You can blame the Jews. Jews do what they do. Okay, blacks do what they do. But it's our fault. We allowed this to happen because of our breaking of the law. And now we've got it to the point, even like I had a person call me from out west, they talked about doing a sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, have you got enough money to pay the taxes for the year you're down? Can you live for a whole year without income? Okay. No, they can't. See? So we've made it. Our forefathers and myself, I'm an elder, made it so that even the young ones who would like to practice the law can't even do it.
Well, they
can't do it.
They've gone to where, essentially, in order to educate, I mean, the property taxes, most of it's spent for education. And essentially what it is to turn young white people into a bunch of worthless wiggers. It's a wigger factory.
But we allowed it to happen.
I mean, and that's, you know, that's why, you know, my main show. I say it's not so much a nigger problem or a beaner problem or even so much a Jew problem. We have a wigger problem.
Right.
And essentially it is wiggers who have allowed this thing to happen. Anyway, I hear the first beep. And essentially, I'll go ahead and talk to Gary about what, you know, we're going to go ahead Thursday. Thanks to Jeremy Visser. He sort of got my IP banned. You know, number band. Yesterday, my internet was gone most of the time because they cut the line. And since I do need to call and see if I can't get my internet number there, essentially I probably have to figure out a way to go ahead and change the IP number because I can go ahead and get on there, possibly understand dual C-line Christian identity. I'll see if I can't change the IP number and get regain control of my, my twice a week show. But Thursday I'll have a show, and then Friday we'll go ahead on the Logan Hunter show. We will continue reading the last chapter of Genesis, and then in the book of Jasher we'll come to the days of Moses and what happened there. So then we'll get into the book of Exodus on Friday, and heck, maybe I can go ahead and talk to the Pisser Possum. And essentially, maybe Thursday, if he wants to, essentially the Pisser Possum brought this sort of crap on himself here, but, you know, by going ahead and get my IP number blocked. If the Pisser Possum wants to go ahead and have an argument with me or something like that, we can do that. But essentially, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night because my cell phone's about to go ahead and
mine all
die. And essentially, I think it's 11 o'clock your time, Gary.
Yep.
So essentially, I think we're going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to say hail victory.
Okay.
May Yahweh bless.
Bless you both.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Thanks,
and
Gary.
Good night.
All right. Yahweh bless. Bye-bye.
All right. And Logan, you want to go ahead and essentially
Martin.
I have less than a minute left. You want to go ahead
and
Martin. End the show?
Martin.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and end the show, okay?
Go ahead and do it here. So, folks, hail victory.
Yeah.